Have you seen the Bobineer Live catalog? It's got so many neat resources, like videos such as Get Out of the Matrix, when I debated a college philosophy class, and Eagle Eggs, when does an eagle become an eagle? Mount Moriah, the evidence for the resurrection, and God and the death penalty. And then there's Video Fruitcake with hilarious liberal callers. So call in and ask for the Bobineer Live catalog, or get it on the web at kgov.com. Of course, all these materials are listed and described on the internet, or call us at 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. We'd love to send you a Bobineer Live catalog, so give us a ring. Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And as the week continues, we'll be talking about China's one-child policy that has now tipped the scales there to where there are 25 million men more than women in a crisis of epidemic proportion, where 25 million men will not be able to find wives because of sex selection abortions and their one-child policy. So we'll be talking about that. And then also, I'd like to discuss later in the week again this case in Georgia where a man intentionally shot his mailman 7 times because he was looking for 3 meals a day in health care paid by the federal government. What a tragic story reported by the Associated Press. And the mail carrier, the letter carrier, has been severely injured. And so we'll talk through that. What is it about our criminal justice system that has a number of criminals over the years? This has been a problem now for decades. People intentionally wanting to get into jail, where we educate them and medicate them and feed them and clothe them and entertain them, keep them warm in winter, cool in summer. Are there alternatives to improve our criminal justice system? And then also later in the week, the new Supreme Court nominee Samuel Alito, who in the year 2000 ruled with the majority on a federal appellate court that late-term abortions should remain legal in New Jersey. And that's, of course, in the third trimester, where unborn children have been sucking their thumbs and playing with their toes for months. And so this is Samuel Alito, nominated by a Republican pro-life president, but who has already ruled on one occasion that even late-term abortions should remain legal, and that for reasons of process, being a strict constructionist and all, that's how he ruled. Okay, so that's for later in the week. Right now, I'd like to take you back to last week. We interviewed Juanita Broderick, who toured the Clinton Library on quite an interesting day. She went with Kathleen Willey, and these two women have made credible accusations against Bill Clinton for sexual assault. And we are honored to have on the phone right now Kathleen Willey. Kathleen, welcome to Bobineer Live.
Thank you for having me.
I know that the story ran in about 120 newspapers, and a number of TV stations picked up the account of your trip to the library. But I'm hoping that you can first help the audience remember what happened to you that day at the White House, what turned you from a Clinton supporter to someone critical of him, and then we'll talk about your visit to the library.
Okay. I was a volunteer at the White House at the time that I went to see the president. I had been a supporter of his. My late husband and I had raised a lot of money for him. We started Virginians for Clinton, so we were friends and supporters, and we had a personal family crisis, a financial crisis.
All right.
And it just was very apparent that my volunteer days needed to come to an end, and I needed to get a paying job.
Mm-hmm.
And so on November 29th, 1993, I called the Oval Office, and I asked the president's secretary, Nancy Hernreich, if there was any chance that I could get to see him that day.
Could you give us that date again?
November 29th, 1993.
Okay, 1993. So 12 years ago.
Uh-huh.
All right, you called the secretary and asked, uh-huh, could you see the president?
Could I see the president?
That's quite a request.
Well, I've been criticized. That's been questioned. But he was a friend of ours. We knew him. And mm-hmm, he had come to Virginia. And as I said, we raised a lot of money for him. I was on the steering committee of the largest fundraiser to date when we had a big fundraiser for him at Pamela Harriman's home in Middleburg shortly before the election. So, and he knew me. We were in Little Rock on election night evening, and he knew my family. And I had no problem calling and making a request like that.
Yeah, and Kathleen, there's no way that's inappropriate to call and ask somebody for a job. I might criticize you a little bit for helping him get elected in the first place. But
don't think I haven't questioned that. So, yeah.
But you work, you're volunteering someplace, and you're saying, hey, if there's any paid positions, I'd like to apply.
That's exactly what I said, and I went in basically saying that, and I was upset because things were pretty crucial, and he could tell that I was upset. I was very upset. I was crying. I was on the verge, I was shaking. I was just very upset about what was going to happen, to my family in the midst of this financial crisis. Yeah. So anyway, I went in to see him, and I sat down at his desk across from him, and I started talking, and and I told him what was going on, and he said, "Well, you look very distraught. Would you like a cup of coffee?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Well, let's go back here to my little kitchen area, and I've got a study back there." And so I thought, "Well, okay." And we went back to, there's a little galley kitchen, and we went back there. There was a steward there, and he dismissed the steward and poured me a cup of coffee himself, and then invited me to come into his private study. And which at that point, I didn't think it all inappropriate. I had been in the Oval Office one other time when I was newly at the White House. He had seen me and asked me if I wanted to come in and see the Oval Office.
Right.
And I went in there with him and just did not feel like I was in any kind of jeopardy, and told him more about what was going on, wanted to know more about what was going on, and I told him. And that's when this assault took place. And forgive me for not going into the details of it all, because
that's
my
fine,
life is
Kathleen.
An open book.
Yeah, Kathleen, and we don't expect you to.
Okay, but I had a hard time getting away from him. He, had me up in a corner and backed up into a corner. And he's not a little guy. He's not a little man. And there was a meeting with Lloyd Benson, who was Secretary of the Treasury at the time, and also Leon Panetta, and there was a group waiting for him. And his aide kept banging on the door, saying, "Mr. President, you're late. Mr. President, you're late for your meeting." And I frankly think that's what saved me, because I finally got out of there and away from there. And that's what happened. And
I had not known that part, Kathleen, that you feared that it might even have gone further.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Now, you said that you were noticeably distraught.
Yeah.
And you had been crying. Had that been obvious to
you? Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Before when I talked to him about this crisis in my family and that I needed a job. And, and I didn't need a job in the White House, in the West Wing. I mean, I was working in the First Lady's social office at that point. I was a volunteer there, and I was commuting from Richmond on the train. I just told him that I just needed a paying job, and could he help me do that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it happened.
Now, Kathleen, we do have a political axe to grind. We are biased here at Bob and Yurt Live. We were against the Clintons for public policy reasons from when they first came onto the national scene. And so I cannot be said to be unbiased. We were biased. But then when these stories came out of repeated mistreatment of women, sexual harassment, and even sexual assault, then it seemed to us that our public policy criticisms were directed at a person who had personal problems and who disrespected women and who would get a pass from the National Organization of Women because he was sufficiently pro-abortion or pro-feminist policies.
Bad commentary, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And by the way, we appreciate your article in Human Events last week. It was excellent. We read the article here on the air.
Oh, good. Thank you.
So to me, it seems like the accusations are accurate. When a woman is in distress like that, someone who takes advantage of her in that situation is clearly a sexual predator. When you have a vulnerable person and they take that moment to make their move.
Yes, he is a predator. Definitely was as I look back on it, he was definitely sizing up the situation. As I said, he dismissed the steward who was usually present at all times at the president's disposal with meals and drinks. And
now, Juanita's story we know much better. And in fact, 30 of us went to the Clinton Library opening week, and we were there for the week, and we protested with huge banners.
Really?
Yeah, huge banners that every person who came, thousands, down Main Street to the Arkansas Convention Center saw our huge banners that said Clinton was a rapist.
Yeah.
And we succeeded in changing the tenor of the event. Instead of just a sheer celebration, people were sobered by the thousands and thousands of yellow flyers we handed out.
Great.
Detailing the evidence that he raped Juanita Broderick. But Kathleen, I don't know how much even you know of Juanita's story. I'm sure you probably know more about it than we do, but I'd like to draw a similarity between the two cases. She said something to him when he was making a pass at her that she thought would protect her, but he saw as an opportunity. It made her even more vulnerable. And she told him that even though she was married, she was in love with another man, the man that she's now been married to for all these many years,
right?
David Broderick.
Exactly.
And the way a sexual predator would interpret that is, she's vulnerable because she's outside of the safety bounds of a marriage covenant. And so I would think he would see that as more encouragement that she would be afraid to speak out. And so he found vulnerable women and he exploited them.
Of course, he did. And also, remember what he did to Paula Jones? She was a government, a state employee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's clearly sexual harassment.
Right.
And as you said, he just gets a buy from all the women's organizations because he supports their causes. I mean,
I
look to the National Organization for Women for help, and they wouldn't even return my phone calls. And after my 60 Minutes interview, which was shortly after my testimony before the grand jury in Ken Starr's investigation, Patricia Ireland came on, and she was the head of Now at the time, and she made this kind of perfunctory, well, if this is a sexual assault, well, they, you know, this is certainly a very serious matter, and it stopped there.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's it. I mean, I was a Clinton supporter. I was a Democrat. I, you know, fit into the mold, and I got no help from them. None. Zero.
Even?
Absolutely none. They attacked me, and, you know, the attack started later.
Right.
And, I mean, they're just a joke.
We call that executive privilege if a powerful white politician is sufficiently pro-feminist agenda. His executive privilege means that he can mistreat women and even sexually harass or assault them with impunity.
Mm-hmm.
The feminist leaders will look the other way. Even with Monica Lewinsky, which it is wrong for a leader, somebody with power or influence, to exploit that influence to get sex from subordinates or interns. That's fundamentally wrong. But even to make matters worse, as Bill Clinton did in Arkansas and he did in the White House, he then offers these women taxpayer-funded jobs so that he's...
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah, he's paying them off for sex with tax dollars. And even that, the media and his supporters say this is merely his private life.
All right.
Yeah. So
it's like I said, it's amazing.
Kathleen, you have a book that'll be coming out through World Ahead Publishing?
Yes, and it's going to be published next August.
Well, we will certainly look forward to that. Now, you had been a volunteer not for the Oval Office, but for Hillary Clinton.
Well, yeah, per se. I mean, she was never over there.
Right.
You know, she was the first lady to have her office in the West Wing. And we rarely saw her in the East Wing in the social office. She did not care anything about social events at the White House. Those were all put together by the social office without much guidance from her. In fact, we had to guide her.
And the intimidation, the ridicule of the women who Bill Clinton harassed or assaulted and then would speak publicly, they were systematically mistreated by the Clinton machine. Do you have any evidence that Hillary Clinton was involved with that in your case?
I do, and I'm going to talk about that in my book. She was very much present when all that was being planned. I mean, what happened to me was bad enough, but what happened later, I had never intended to go public with that story, but my story was found out by Paula Jones's attorneys when she had filed her sexual harassment complaint, and they were looking for other women. And I had told friends, I had told Linda Tripp about what happened. And I worked with Linda Tripp at the time, and I had told her what had happened in the Oval Office, and that got back to Paula's attorneys, and that's when they subpoenaed me to be deposed in her case. They were, as I said, they were looking for other women.
Mm-hmm.
And I fought the subpoena. I did not want to be involved in any of it. But it just came down to the point where I was deposed before a federal judge right here in Richmond, Virginia, on a Saturday morning, January 10th of 1998. And it was the first time in the judge's history that he had ever opened his courtroom on a Saturday, and that was just to evade the press, because my name had come out the previous July 31st, 1997. And what was scary was, as I said, what happened to me was bad enough, but the intimidation, hiring private detectives to come down here and scare me and threaten my children and to try to quiet me was absolutely the worst. I was a widow at the time. I don't know if you remember my story, but
I remember the tragedy that...
Well, my husband took his own life that day that I was in the Oval Office.
Wow.
Asking for help. And
that was over the stress of the financial difficulty?
And anyway, I had moved out to the country by myself in a little house in the woods, and you had to work real hard to find me. And they found me, and the intimidation started. They damaged my car. It was awful. I was threatened by a stranger 2 days before my deposition. It lasted for a very long time, and that was the thing that was that's what outraged me. It was terrible. Mm. I mean, no American, no ordinary American woman like I am should feel frightened in her own home,
right.
And I was.
Wow.
Every day and every night, and I never knew if I was safe, if my pets were safe. I have dogs and cats, and one of my cats disappeared, and the stranger that threatened me 2 days before the deposition mentioned my cat by name, which meant that he had seen him or had him, because my cat had a collar on with his name on it, and it was all this kind of stuff, and it's just, I never knew what to expect next. Mm. I found somebody going through my trash one evening. You know, it was just people were following me, going into stores after I left. I knew people, if I could see them following me, it was terrible.
Well,
and you could just never pinpoint it. The one good thing that happened was one private detective was so outraged by what he'd been hired to do that he called me very, very early on in all of this, and he warned me anonymously. He said, there are people out to get you. Be careful.
Hmm.
And he came forward, and he was a witness in Ken Starr's investigation in the grand jury.
Wow.
And that took a lot for him, because that was his business.
In your book, will you speak about him and give his name?
His name was Jared Stern.
Jared Stern. I recall...
He's a hero in my book.
Mm-hmm. I recall that the Clinton machine would refer to women who had credible accusations of Bill Clinton exploiting them sexually. They would refer to these women, these events, as bimbo eruptions. And that was their way of demeaning women to mock...
Well, you should hear what Bob Bennett called me. I can't repeat it.
Mm.
But one of the adjectives, well, I can't repeat, but the rest of it was a flaming, flaky, mm-hmm. floozy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and when you got somebody standing on national television saying that, that's pretty distressful.
Well, Kathleen, I'm sorry these things have happened to you. I want you to know that we've had this show in Denver for 15 years. I pastor a church, Denver Bible Church. But in all those years, the story of Juanita Broderick hit us with such force because it was so evident that the man who was president of the United States was also a rapist. And then the story, well, Candace Jackson's book, Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton
Machine. That's
an machine.
Incredible book. That woman really did her homework.
Hmm.
I cried after I read the chapter on me. I sat down and I just cried and cried and cried. And I thought to myself, finally somebody got it right.
Hmm.
And she did. She got it right.
Well, we're recommending that people go to Amazon.com or WorldAhead.com and purchase the book and read through it. And if Bill Clinton was a former president and it's over, well, it's still worthwhile to get the truth out. But there's added reason here because Hillary Clinton has helped to set the case of women back a generation to where
it's... God help us all, mm-hmm. is all I can say. And if there's anything that I can do to keep that from happening, then I will do it. And people have questioned why I would put myself out there again, you know, in light of what has happened to me over the years. But this is too important to me.
Yeah, well, I can tell you...
This woman plotted and planned to ruin women. I mean, this is the champion of women's causes and women's rights and women's empowerment.
Mm.
And this woman planned and plotted the ruination of her husband's victim.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I could give you two names who could play a part in Hillary Clinton becoming the next president. Rudy Giuliani and Condoleezza Rice. And here's why. You know, the base of the Republican Party, a good chunk of it, the social conservatives, are against abortion. And both Condoleezza Rice is pro-choice, and Rudy Giuliani is radically pro-choice, even supporting partial birth abortion. So certainly either of them running in the primaries, running for president, could help to destroy the Republican Party's ability to defeat somebody like Hillary Clinton.
I know.
And I personally would not support a politician who supports the right to abortion.
Right.
So anyway, there's a real possibility Hillary could end up being the next president.
Well, we can't let that happen.
All right. Kathleen, Willie, I want to thank you so very much.
Thank you.
I know it's got to be tough, but thank you for having the courage to tell your story.
That's okay. And please feel free to call me anytime. I'd love to be on your show again.
You know what? We may do that, especially
okay.
if Hillary continues to shoot for the Oval Office.
Well, remember the Swift boat bets.
That's right.
They did. Look what they did.
That is absolutely right to John Kerry. And there's the women that have been intimidated and ridiculed by Hillary Clinton, directly and indirectly, who might have their own Swift boat ads.
Well, maybe that's going to be the way to go.
All right. Kathleen, Willie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
May God bless
you. I enjoyed
it. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate that. Good night. Wow. What an opportunity to speak with her. And it's tragic, of course, when people end up in the news because of being the victims of crime. But when that has happened, it's so very important for people to speak out and to tell the truth. And I think we're as honest as we could be on this issue saying, are we biased against Bill Clinton? Yes. And actually, when I say that, I only say that for sake of argument. Because I believe that when what you're saying is true, it should not be referred to as bias. It's not bias if it's true. Bias is when your agenda, your preconceived notions cause you to promote something that's wrong or false on a particular issue. So that's bias. If people who don't think there's such a thing as right and wrong, and therefore they argue that abortion should be legal, and you talk to them, and now they have a bias. They don't believe in a God of righteousness. They don't believe there's a judgment day coming. They don't believe in absolute right and wrong. And so their bias leads them to say that, hey, abortion should be legal. They don't believe it's absolutely wrong. They don't believe anything is absolutely wrong. I've asked hundreds of people on college campuses and on this show over the last 15 years, was the murder of 6 million Jewish men, women, and children, was that absolutely wrong? And they'll say, no, it wasn't. We have examples of that on our video, Get Out of the Matrix, where I debated a college philosophy class and their professor for an hour and 15 minutes. It's an extraordinary video. Have you seen that DVD? If you have not seen that, you've got to order that. Now, it's $24.95 plus shipping and handling, but we offer a money-back guarantee on all our products, our materials, and you just got to check it out. It's extraordinary. Get Out of the Matrix. And if you sign up for our monthly video, you get a DVD or a VHS every month. You get a DVD or a VHS every month, then you'll get that without shipping charges. So that's the benefit of signing up to our monthly Bible study albums, our sermons, our videos. There's no shipping charges. So consider that. And Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check them out, Maranatha. Hi, this is Bob Enyart. If you'd like to hear more, then tune in weekdays at 3 right here on KLTT for Bob Enyart Live. Also, you could subscribe to our Bob Enyart Live Bible studies, our monthly videos, our sermons. For the Bible studies, you get an entire album on audio tape or MP3 CD for $34.95 a month. Or you could get our videos or sermons every month mailed to you for just $24.95 a month. To subscribe, please call 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. That's 800-836-9278. Or you could subscribe online at kgov.com. Also, Denver Bible Church, you're invited Sunday morning or evening for Bible study, worship, and fellowship. We have such a great time together, so come on out or check us out on the web at kgov.com for Bob Enyart Live. I just got to tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada, the very best school I have ever seen in my 30 years as a Christian. Over 100 people on staff, Christ-centered, top academics, affordable, and all of this for your kids. Call Maranatha Christian Center at 303-431-5653. That's Maranatha 431-5653.